Something.
All right. So as we left off, page Yud Dalid, paragraph Yud Beis. So remember again, in the previous section, so the Mechaber was speaking about the idea that the essence, this Siba HaKlolis, this overarching principle for which, or aspiration for which we live, is this concept of Dveikos Bashem, concept of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the essence. And once we establish that as being correct and establish that as being true, then at the end of the day, that is something that we must keep in front of us at all times. We must be ever vigilant and ever conscious of this idea. See, remember again, he wrote, the mashal he ended off with last time was that if a person is on a tree, and they're sitting on a branch, and the branch breaks, and they're hugging the trunk of the tree. So they're going to keep hugging that trunk for dear life, because they know that if they let go, they could come crashing down, and chas v'shalom, get hurt, or chas v'shalom, worse, so they hold on to it. So it says in the Mechaber, so too, if you know that something is truly the essence of life, it's not just enough to know it intellectually, you have to grab onto it, you have to hold on to it. So he says, heim heim advarim b'nimshal. A person has to realize that his entire existence is dependent on this recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that life is all about Tveikus. That a person has to have an ever-present understanding and awareness that the entire tachlis of my life is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not enough for this just to be a general knowledge. Person has to realize that his entire existence is dependent on this understanding. And if he were to forget this yediya, he endangers his entire existence. Even before a person knows the derech to dvegos, this is very important, which is just very interesting. You know, we live like in a day and age where the truth is, I'm not really willing to commit to something unless I know what it is. Which in many areas of life makes a lot of sense. You know, I often say, like, this is one of the greatest struggles within, like you see with shiduchim. So because, like, everyone needs to know every single thing. Like, you know, I always thought it's funny. You know, like, you know, I was having a conversation with the young man and said, you know, I need a girl who's going to commit to living in Eretz Yisrael. She has to live in Eretz Yisrael. So let me ask you a question. I said, how do you know you're going to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael? Because I know I want to. And I said, and what happens if you can't make a living in Eretz Yisrael? What's going to happen then? I said, oh, I'll come back to America. I said, okay. Exactly. Try. So, like, why do you know, it's amazing. So, like, we kind of live, like, in a world of absolutes. Like, everyone has to know exactly what it's going to be before I commit to it. What's fascinating about this approach is, remember what the Mechaber is doing, the structure of the Sefer has been, what we are doing is we are creating a reality and accepting that reality as reality, even though what? We don't yet even know exactly what it is. So meaning what we have just said is the most important thing in my life, the thing that I aspire to most, the one thing that each of us are put here for, the primary goal and aspiration that we all share in common is Dveikus Bashem. And what is Dveikus Bashem? I'm not sure yet. But whatever it is, I know it's the most important, and I know that my life is pledged to it. Also, you know, there's an incredible chap to this kind of thinking, to swearing allegiance to something, to laying up. Really, it's what's doing is it's creating a foundation of emuna that the veikus is the most important, and then I'll fill in that foundation with the actual knowledge. He says, "Eitz chayim hi." Excuse me. Eitz chayim nikra kein al shem bechinas apostol va'atem advekim ba'ashem alokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. So why ultimately is Torah called? And when he says Torah, again, why is this tevekus called Eitz chayim? Why is it called Tree of Life? Because again, that's rooted in the pasuk va'atem advekim ba'ashem alokeichem. Those of you who are davuk to Hashem, chayim kulchem hayom. You are all alive. You're right. You all have chayim. Good evening. You all have chayim. Listen, what does this mean? This is really fascinating. Because sure, this is a different way to look at this pasuk. It's only if you have dveikus ba'ashem that you are chayim, that you are alive. If you don't have dveikus, then we can infer from the pasuk that's what? That mamish, you're not alive. You're not alive. We're in paragraph Yud Gimel. Paragraph, we just started. Paragraph Yud Gimel, page Yud Dalet. Mitzius ha'chayim hi, the essence of life is v'atem ha'dveikim ba'ashem. The essence of life is dveikus ba'ashem. Zen nikra chayim. It's dveikos that is called life. Kasher adam chas v'shalom lo davak bekono. When a person does not cling to his creator. Al mayon b'chamein b'chino zu amru chazal. Rishoim b'chayehem kruyim mason. So there's an amazing mamar chazal that says that the wicked, even when they're alive, they're called dead. So what does that mean? Well, the wicked seem, if anything, the wicked seem to sometimes enjoy this world very much. Right? Pasha, they don't seem dead at all. So Elamai, Vezos, Mipne Sha'afa Pishesh, Lem Chios Chitzonios, because even though they have what appears to be external life, Chios Gufnis, biological life, Mikom Makom Chasra Lahem Es Iker Chios Adam. But you know what they're missing? They're missing the essence of existence. What is the essence of existence? Shehi Devekis Beboris Baruch Shemo. If you don't have Dvekos Bashem, then you don't have life. Vechaven Shinichsonam had Dvekos Baris Baruch Shemo. Lakachi Mugdar Kamesim. And if you don't have Dvekos, then by definition you are classified as dead. And again, that's the pasuk saying, Vatem Hadvekim Bashem Lokechem, you, Klal Yisrael, who clings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God, Chayim Kulchem Hayom. All of you are considered to be alive. If you have Dvekos, then you're alive. Ka'asher yesh v'atem ha'dvekim ha'shem alokeichem. When you have dvekas ta'ashem, yesh es ha'bechina shel chayim. Then you're alive. V'ka'asher ha'bechina shel v'atem ha'dvekim ha'shem alokeichem. Enenem es kemes chas ha'shalom. But when there is no dvekas, when you don't live your life fulfilling the concept of that you are clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enem es kemes chas ha'shalom. Hari ha'chayim gam enem chayim chas ha'shalom. So also what's amazing over here is that now what we've just done is, it's not just about the fact that Tevekos Bashem is the one of the most important things or the singular goal in life. Now we've just taken it a step further. That what is it? Tevekos Bashem is life itself. There is no life, or for that matter, there is no meaningful life outside of Tevekos Bashem. And that, interestingly enough, he's just taking, you know, it's funny, we've read that pasuk so many times in Dvarim, and yet I never thought to look at it that way. I'm sorry? Monday, right. It doesn't resonate, but it's really saying that the key to life, right, if you want to be chaim, if you want chis, if you want life, if you want to live a life of life, then you need Tevekos Bashem. And the inference, of course, is if you don't have the Tevekos, then you might be biologically alive, physiologically alive, but ultimately that's not life. Even though, again, remember, we don't even know yet what this Tevekos means, but they've already posed the importance.
And they say that the tzaddikim are even alive when they're dead, you know.
It's very true. Yeah. Probably an extension of this idea, the Tevekos of the tzaddik continues on. Exactly. Very true.
So what follows from that, really, is that any other meaningful relationships, right, or anything meaningful in life, in and of itself, is nothing.
Correct. Only, according to this approach, only things that somehow are part of the framework of Dvekos Bashem are meaningful, which doesn't preclude your other life relationships, right? What makes a meaningful marriage? What makes a meaningful marriage is ultimately, again, when husband and wife are working in concert, somehow to create an additional level of dvekos, raising a family, doing. So if I think what we're going to see as we go through this is the various parts of our life fit very beautifully into this framework. It's just a question of almost like reworking our orientation.
If we have the awareness.
That's correct. And remember, again, that's why he said also, remember, he said this now, we've seen this the last two shiurim. Well, we didn't see it this time yet, but we saw the two before, this concept of writing down on a piece of paper that Tevekos Bashem is the most important thing in life, and looking at it, he said, every 15 minutes, because the truth is, this is not like a new reality. This is not like something, oh my gosh, my life has to be about Tevekos Bashem, I have to change around everything that I'm doing. The truth is, I think what's going to come out is you have to really change around very little. Because the truth is, we live, hopefully, lives of Kedusha and lives of meaning, and we're engaged in good things. It's just a question of our orientation. Do we think about Tevekos Bashem, and do we try to look at the things that we do through the prism of Tevekos Bashem? That's a paragraph Yudalit. Nisponim b'dvar b'navin osam heitev. So let's contemplate this and try to understand it a little bit better. V'nifnim osam amok amok l'soch alev. And now, what we need to start doing is such a beautiful phrase. We need to take these things that we now have been kind of looking at intellectually, and we need to begin to internalize them into the deepest recesses of our hearts. Anu asukim b'chol mahus ha'adam b'tachliso. What we are now focusing again on the essence of what is the tachlis, what is the purpose of man? What is the purpose of man? Tachlis ha'adami, v'atem ha'dveikim b'ashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. So we've established already that the essence of man is dveikos b'ashem. V'zehu kol mahus ha'adam. This is the entire essence of man. Kivah shekasav ha'ramchal, v'ani kivas elokim litov. As Ramchal quotes the pasuk, for me, closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate good. V'zulas zeh, mashi chashvu b'nei adam latov. Eino ela hevel vishav nita. I say, now this is a very strong statement, but just because it's strong doesn't mean it's not true. It's unequivocally true, which is that a person also has to realize the only good in life is dveikos, which by definition means all the other things that we call good aren't good. Meaning he's looking at good as an objective term that symbolizes like what life should be directed to. See, I think what we often do is there are many things that are pleasurable. So we often say that pleasurable things are good. We have to be careful with our terms. Pleasurable things are pleasurable. But there's only one thing in life that is tov. That thing in life that's tov is dveikos b'Hashem. So it's a question, again, orientation. He goes on, he says, v'chol tayag mitzvos, Eino ela, let's skip along here. Yeah, nifnim es advarim she'in be'emes davar achar b'chaim chutz mikeras Hashem dveikos b'Hashem. We have to begin to internalize this idea that the truth is there is no other good in life except for closeness and dveikos and clinging to God. V'chol taryag mitzos eino ela derech lahagi l'tach lezu. And also, this goes back to what we started the beginning of the Sefer with. And what's the entire purpose? What's the entire essence of mitzvos? Mitzvos, as we've said before, are not an ends. Mitzvos are a means. And this is so important. This is so important for chinuch. Because so often what happens when we convey mitzvos to our children is we make it about the act. We make it about the act. And sometimes we fail to explain that the act is there because the act will give you meaning or will help you or will allow you to grow as a person in ways A, B, C, D, and E. Now, obviously, you can't do that with every single mitzvah, but there are certain things, it's so important because what ends up happening is we end up thinking that kind of mitzvah is like this code of behavior that God wants us to go ahead and do. What's the meaning behind it? I'm not sure. Why do I have to do it? I'm not sure. But if I begin to realize that mitzvahs are not an end, mitzvahs are a means. Means for what? Dveikos b'Hashem. Suddenly again, the whole behavioral framework of mitzvos take on a different meaning. We have to figure out how to internalize these ideas. Let's first clarify this in our intellect in a very clear way. This is very interesting. So he says, obviously, what's our goal? Our goal is to internalize this idea and to really believe it, not just say it. But sometimes before you believe something, you have to understand it. Which, by the way, is also interesting by itself because there are different models of emunah. And some models of emunah begin with rational thought and ultimately lead to faith. Other models of emunah begin with faith and then ultimately perhaps lead to the intellect sometime later on. Very, very important to so. So he says what we're going to do in the Sefer is, first we're going to look at this from an intellectual perspective. We're going to understand what Dveikos b'Hashem means, what it means that it's the ultimate. So follow the progression. What we started with is establishing a belief hierarchy. And the most important, the top of the pyramid, on the pyramid of belief is what? Is that Dveikos b'Hashem is the be-all, end-all of our existence. Anything and everything we do is in order to allow us to achieve a state of dveikos. That's number one. Number two is mitzvos. Mitzvos are there, not as an end, but as a means to help me achieve dveikos. That's number two. Number three, I have to take these ideas, and somehow I have to internalize them. But before I can internalize them, I have to first make sure that I understand them, then I can internalize them. Take a look at Tesvav. Hari Yotzei Lo Mikol Nitzkaleh. So what comes out from our entire discussion? She'adam tzarech lotzeis im she'ifa berura. Lios Davik Bakadosh Baruch Hu, Bechol Rega Urega Mamish, that a person has to realize that in every single moment, he has to go ahead with Shi'ifa Brura, with a clear desire to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechol Rega Urega Mamish, Velirtos Bekach Be'emes. So number one, I have to realize that indeed I need this connection every single moment, and more importantly, I have to want it. That's not intellectual. Correct. He's already going, this is already once it's internalized. I have to want it. Although, intellectually, one could want it also. Right? I could say, I would like to have this state of dveikos b'Hashem. He says, va'azai, kasha yesh la'adam she'ifa b'ru'a b'kach, when a person has a clear desire for this, ata avodasu l'chapes derech keitzer efshar l'hagia, l'tzuras ha'chaim kizu, shel dveikos b'borei olam b'chol rego rega mamish. So after a person realizes that A, it's the truth, B, that I want it, then a person has to figure out, how do I get it? How do I get it? It's a very systematic plan. You know, in Ruchnius, I have to identify what the goal is. I have to go ahead and actually desire. I have to actually want it. And then number three, I have to go ahead and make a plan. I have to make a plan to actually go ahead. You know, somebody sent me, she's very interesting, from one of these, self-help books, what do you call it? To help people become more efficient. I guess it's a self-help book. Okay, so whatever this person, so they came up with this model. It's called, when you make goals in life, it's called STAR. So S stands for, you have to state it in writing. That if you want something to happen in life, you have to write it down. Because when you write it, ultimately, again, it comes true. T is timeline. Right, there has to be, again, if you can have a goal, you don't have a time when you're going to accomplish, not going to accomplish anything. What was A? A is achievable. It was achievable, because if you set goals for yourself that mamish are not achievable, it's not. And R, I don't know what R was, but I have to read it again. But the point of view is the same idea. It's a good chop in life that, again, it's nice to have goals, but then I have to create a model to execute it, to actualize those goals. So I know what the MS is. I know that I want the MS of Dveikos, and I have to figure out how to get to the MS. So he goes on. He says, Ava Mukhrach. But a person really first has to believe that what, or it has to be clear to him that it is his tafkid in life to really go ahead and have the veikos. There's another piece to this also, which is that it's not just enough to want it, but depending on how badly you want it, we'll go ahead and determine what? Will determine the amount of effort you're willing to put into it. Which, again, is not a din in just Ruchnius, it's a din in general in life. I might have a goal, and I know it's an important goal, it's a necessary goal, but the truth is, if I'm not like meshuga for that goal, if I'm not passionate about that goal, then the truth is, it may or may not come to fruition. The more passionate and excited you are about something, the more you dedicate yourself to making that happen. So you see, it's like a multi-tiered layer. So now I've identified the goal, which is Dveikos b'Hashem. I have said that I want that goal of Dveikos. I want to be Dvok b'Hashem. I've decided now that ultimately, again, here are the steps I need to do that. But the shayla that I really have to ask myself is, do I really want it? I said that I wanted it before, but do I want it? Like, sure. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't want the Vekos, right? Who doesn't? We don't have to take a poll. Right? Everybody wants the Vekos. But there's interesting saying, sure, I'd love to have the Vekos, versus saying, I must have the Vekos. The person who says, sure, it'd be nice to have the Vekos, okay. He'll be very lackadaisical in how he gets it, and when he gets it, and if he gets it. The person who says, Pashit, I need it. I need to have it. My life is incomplete, and I want to have a complete life. Such a person who feels the need for Dveikus will be me even more inspired to put in the additional effort. He goes on, V'chol sh'ifas ha'adam ratzon l'kach haloshim. But if my desire for Dveikus is weak, kain kol mafriya kal v'katan, yimanehu me'asagas ha'dveikus ha'amitis b'koran. This is a very profound statement. If my desire for Dveikus is weak, then any little distraction will prevent me from acquiring and achieving true dveikos. I will say, you know, this is an incredible yisod. You ever, you know, I think we all have things in life that we have wanted to accomplish, and we haven't accomplished them. And if we're honest with ourselves, the question we have to ask is what?
Why?
Is what? Why? Is why? And really the answer to that usually is that I didn't want it badly enough. Because what happens if you don't want... So again, I want A, but whatever, I'm not like passionate for it. So what ends up happening? I'm going to start trying to go towards A, but then this comes up, and then that comes up, and then this interference, and that interference, and it's very easy to get derailed when you're not passionate about something. It's very important you sowed in life in general, that if you can't accomplish a goal, you keep getting derailed, and you realize that you're putting in the requisite effort, chances are it's because you're not very passionate about it, and you just get easily sidetracked from whatever it is. So he says it's very important that when it comes to Dveikos Ba'Hashem, you know, a person could say, I've been trying for years for Dveikos Ba'Hashem, and what we'd ask that person is what? Well, really, like, how passionate, how much do you really want it? How passionate are you about it? Because if you're kind of just lukewarm, of course you're not going to have it, because there's so much stuff that happens in life that derails us every single day. But if you're passionate, it becomes your singular goal and you'll make it happen. Let's do one more paragraph. Yesh pitgam yadua. There is a well-known saying. It's actually interesting. I guess it's in Hebrew also. Shemei rov eitzim lo ro'im es hayar. What does that mean? Can't see the trees from the forest. Literally, because of all the trees, you can't see the trees from the forest. V'hine, kol davar bebria no'ad l'tzorach ruchanis. Remember, every single thing in this world was created for ruchni purposes. V'nishtamish bepitkam hazeh le'inyanenu. So obviously, you know, remember, so now we're trying to figure out, so when he says that you can't see the trees from the forest, the way we usually use that term is what? That a person just loses perspective. Person loses perspective. They don't see really what's in front of them in the correct way. They have some kind of viewed outlook or viewed vision of their circumstances. So he writes the following. Let's use this now in this quest to achieve Dveikus. He says, Yesh Tayag Mitzvos. We have 630 Mitzvos. V'ikram Talmud Torah, Kimo Shekasev Chazal, the Talmud Torah Kenegat Kulam. So we have 630 Mitzvos. Obviously, Torah, Talmud Torah, is as important, or, you know, we explained a little bit differently a couple of weeks back, right? The quote. So Talmud Torah is Kenegat Kulam. V'hine HaTayag, Heimrak Shorashim. Now understand, when we say there are 630 Mitzvos, what that means is there are 613 like roots, 613 trunks, so to speak. Uprati amitzvos himrabim adlamo. But remember again, you could have a mitzvah, and that one mitzvah has many different appendages attached to it. So every single one mitzvah could have multiple other mitzvos that are associated with it. V'yiduim divrei Zohar HaKadosh, shatariag mitzvos heim tariag itin, tariag etzos la'adam. So the Zohar says that the 630 mitzvos are really what? It's so interesting. 613 pieces of advice. And I was saying, now what does that mean? The tariag mitzvahs are 613. You know, a person can very easily miss on this. It's a suggestion. Right? It was 613 pieces of advice. This is amazing. He says, Eitzos l'shema, what kind of advice? Eitzos ketzad yedave ka'adam bikono. Each of the mitzvahs offer us another strategy in how to accomplish Dveikus. Each mitzvah gives us advice as to how to become Dovuk Ba'Hashem. Kilomar, Komo Husim Shal Mitzvos, the entire essence of mitzvos, Hem Einam Inyan Atzmi, Ela Mapa, Marem Mako Ma'at, Keitzad Yagia Adam L'Dveikus B'Kono. This is amazing. This is every single mitzvah, the essence of every single mitzvah, it's not an end, but rather, it's like a roadmap. Every mitzvah is a roadmap to how to come closer and how to cling a little bit more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imkein, HaMitzvah Morkeves Bebeis Chalokim. Therefore, it turns out that every single mitzvah has two parts. Mechelek HaMa'asi Sheba, O Dibor, Ukidome. So every mitzvah, again, remember, either has what we'll call it a behavioral part. And that actional part is either speech or an action, right? There are some mitzvahs that are just words, and there are other mitzvahs that, again, are actions. That's one part. V'nosaf al kach chilek hatach l'shah mitzvah. So there is the what we'll call the mitzvah behavior, or the mechanistic aspect of the mitzvah, the actional part of the mitzvah. But then there's the tachlis of the mitzvah. What's the tachlis of the mitzvah? Shehi lekarev uledabek es ha'adam lekono. What is the tachlis of a mitzvah, Bosai? Tachlis of a mitzvah is to bring a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nimtza imkein. Shemitzat achilek ha'ma'asi shel ha'mitzvos. Heim rabim. So then turns out that there are many actions associated with mitzvos. V'zeh ha'itzim ha'rabim shel ha'yar. So I'll say this is amazing. So the details of the mitzvah, the behaviors of the mitzvah, the mechanics of the mitzvah, those are the trees. Those are the trees within the forest. Ulam mitzad pinimias hadvarim, when we go a little bit deeper, mitzad tachlis hadvarim, kol hamitzvos kavona achos lahem, kirvas Hashem udvekos bashem. I will say this is such an important yisod. See, he says, what happens? Every single mitzvah, and Rav Soloveitchik also writes extensively about it. So maybe we'll do a little bit of that next time because it's shaykh to this as well. Every single mitzvah has two parts. There's the mechanistic details of the mitzvah, right? I have to, so my tefillin have to be square, they have to be black, the ritzuas have to be black, I have to wind seven times, my shalosh has to be between my eyes. Those are the details. Those are the details. But every single mitzvah also has an additional component that's what? It brings me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, again, tefillin is a good example because, you know, if you say that the Yiratzon is before tefillin, so there's a beautiful image of ultimately binding yourself to the Ribono Shel Olam. So that's the Dveikus. When I do that, I mean, we'll see what, but that's, I realize that in addition to the mechanistic details, I'm doing this because some way, somehow, this is going to help me achieve Dveikus. Says the Mechaber, what's the problem? The problem is we often don't see the trees from the forest. When we look at mitzvos, very often all we see is a whole bunch of details. Okay, we're going to do it because it's the Ratzon Hashem and we're good soldiers and we're good servants, but we forget about the forest. We forget about the fact that the real goal of each of those mitzvos is somehow to help us create a heightened level of Dveikus. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. Meretz Hashem, next week we'll pick up at Yud Zayin.
So when do we institute this into the curriculum of our children?
I think the truth is, you know, I'll tell you, did I mention to you about of Soloveitchik and his mother? I would say this. The Rav said, it's actually interesting. The Rav delivered a hesped for the Talmud Rebbetzin. So Talmud Rebbe was a Chassid Rebbe, lived in Boston. The Rav, I think, was a mechutin with him. I don't know. There was the children married. I don't remember what the relationship was. He gave a hesped for the Rebbetzin of Talmud. Now, when Rav Soloveitchik gave a hesped, so it's not like what you think about a hesped, somebody gets up. So the Rav, like, gave a shiur. Some of the Rav's most important shiurim, or important ideas, thoughts, were delivered in hespedim. It's quite amazing. They published the eulogy, the hesped for the Rebbetzin of Talna. It must be 25 pages. It must be 20. I mean, and this was a hesped that the Rav gave. So in it, but he says something amazing. He speaks about the power of the Jewish mother, of the Jewish, what it means to be a mother. And he says something amazing. He says, my father taught me how to observe Shabbos. He said, my father taught me Lamates Melachos, tell me what to do. My mother, he says, taught me how to experience Shabbos. It's a profound yisod. Right? So I always taught from this that the truth is, you know, schools and yeshivas give our kids wonderful things. I think what he's explaining over here is something that we as parents give our kids. That we show them through our own lives and through the home life that what we do as Jews is not just the satisfying details. That everything I do brings me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not because necessarily I explain it. It's because they see that when I do things not because I'm afraid or not because I'm looking over my shoulder, not because I don't want to get botched, but I'm doing it because when I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I feel closer. And you could, you know, children pick up on these things. I don't know. I think it could be taught. It could be taught a lot better in schools also. Yeah, no shaila. But I think that this is what the home does. I don't think, you know, in today's day and age, you know, there's a, I remember my boys at a particular Rebbe who at the parent orientation said to the parents, he said, whatever you do, don't learn with your sons. He said, so you don't learn with your sons. He said, because I see too often that fathers learn with their sons and like they get angry. Yeah. Pay attention, look at the thing, you know, why are you doing, you should know this. And he says, you know what? He says, it's the worst thing for parent-child relationships. He says, you know, because here, you're going to remember back as a child that like you dreaded flirting with your father because he pashut was like a learning tyrant. Right? He managed, like he would just not give me. He said, you're better off getting your child the chavrusa. He said, let's have a positive. And you know what? you could listen to, you said you could have other positive spiritual experience with your child. You make sure you daven next to your kid in shul. You make sure you go ahead and you listen to his divrei Torah, but don't necessarily learn the sugi with him. Now, again, I don't know if I agree with that totally. I think that there's something to be said. Every father has to know himself. If a father knows that he's going to be riding his kid the whole time, don't do it. It's not, your son's going to hate it, you're going to end up hating it, and no one has a positive experience. If you could do it, then it's good. But I think that that's, I think, more important than learning a masechta with your child, or learning chumash, you know, with your, it's so much more important to try to figure out how to convey that experiential piece of Judaism, that everything I do is so wonderful because it brings me close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I think that'll become easier. We're talking about all this Vegas, but of course we still don't have a definition. So here's Hashem, we're coming close to it. All right.
Maybe.
Possibly.